KNOM Update News. I'm Ben Matheson, and it's 9:02. Governor Parnell has signed Senator Donnie Olson's bill to create the Alaska Native Language Preservation and Advisory Council. Parnell signed the bill Monday in Dillingham during his address to the Rural CAP Providers Conference.
We know that without language preservation, a culture dies. That is intolerable. That is not acceptable. And as Alaskans, we honor and celebrate our traditional cultures. And today we do this by assuring that the state is now all in making sure that these languages live on.
The council will advise the governor and legislature on projects and policy for language preservation and revitalization. The council will be made of five language experts named by the governor. The leaders of the House and Senate will nominate two Bush legislators as non-voting members. A broad coalition of Native organizations came out in support of the bill. Nelson Ungapuk is the Senior Vice President for the Alaska Federation of Natives.
The foundation of any society is their language. And that's our hope, is that this is what it's going to do, is to preserve not only our languages, but the foundation of our cultures.
Bill sponsor Senator Donnie Olson says basic language preservation is necessary, but the council will also be tasked with the dimension of revitalization.
So that it becomes something that is commonplace, something that is valued, something that is taken over by not just the people that speak it, but by those people that are coming along, those people that are young, those people that are still in school, those children that are just being born, so that they can take it on as well and realize that their ancestors, their forefathers that lived up here for millennia have been an integral part of the civilization that was in place here in the state of Alaska.
The governor would need to make appointments to the council by December of this year. The group's first report is due in 2014. The Smithsonian is returning human remains to Shishmaref that were excavated over 80 years ago. The remains of an estimated 48 people will come back this summer, along with six funerary objects associated with burials. An additional 72 objects will go to St. Lawrence Island. Dr. Lars Krutak is the repatriation case manager. He says the Smithsonian received the Shishmaref remains through a non-Indigenous fur trader, George Goshaw.
So he cleared away these sort of burial berms, like little sand mounds, where individuals were traditionally placed, and he cleared them to make room for his fox cages and basically where he was raising these Arctic foxes for the fur market.
Stanley Toktu is the Shishmaref IRA president. He will be going to Washington, D.C. to pick up the objects and remains this summer. The IRA and an elders committee are still figuring out what to do when they return home.
We'd like to get most of the items back where ancestors use, you know, to a museum, at least get them back to Alaska where they belong, so they won't be scattered all over the United States and we'll have no trace of what our ancestors used.
Dr. Krutak says the native villages of Gamble and Savunga will receive funerary objects from several sites, including the Punuk Islands and Cape Giligok. The objects date to the Great Famine of the late 1870s. To hear more from Dr. Krutak and Stanley Toktu, listen to Profiles after the 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. weather. A federal judge has made it more difficult for representatives of Greenpeace to board Shell Oil's drilling vessels. In March, Judge Gleason in Anchorage ordered the group to stay a kilometer from Shell's drilling ships destined for Arctic waters. The restrictions applied to U.S. territorial waters up to 12 miles from shore. Yesterday, Gleason extended those restrictions to 200 miles offshore. Shell intends to drill 18 miles off the Beaufort Sea coast this summer and 70 miles off the Chukchi Sea. The Nome School Board is digging into the attendance policy. In a work session last night, the board heard from junior high math teacher Kevin Busk, who over the course of the year has presented hard data showing a correlation between poor attendance and weak academic progress.
I think the less that they're there, the less welcome they feel, and the less they know about our norms and values. They're not a part of our culture of learning. And when they feel apart, they feel even less welcome to be there.
The board considered a couple of Busk's recommendations, like more parent meetings, mandatory summer school for students with poor attendance, plus stricter policies on holding back students who miss too much school. Parent communication came up as a central topic. Nome Belt's principal Steve Gast says parents' ability to make absences excused is a critical point.
It puts everyone in this business at a in a tough spot as well, from the teacher to the administrator to the, we're not going to sit there and accuse any parent of lying to us about their particular child, but yet it's an extreme frustration for us to when we see that they're not progressing where they should, and we can point to the fact that they've been asked 20 or 30 times.
Board member Barb Amarok says good relationships between parents and the teachers and the school are foundational to boosting attendance. The board also worked through the tobacco policy. Danielle Sylvester from the Nome Community Center has been working with the schools and the board on policies and presented on alternatives to out-of-school suspension as consequences for tobacco violations. She presented ideas involving more tobacco education, as well as involving entities like the police and youth court. Board member Jennifer Reeder spoke to the value of stricter deterrence.
If a cop car showed up, he had to pay $50 of his hard-earned money, and, you know, he had to go to youth court and provide community service, because I think community service, especially community service cleanup cigarette butts around town at a park or something someday, I think they might reconsider their actions the next time. But sitting home and watching SpongeBob for a couple afternoons, big deal, you know? I think there's a lot to be learned from that versus the OSS.
In a meeting following the work session, the board approved a negotiated agreement for classified employees. The deal sees a 1% pay increase next year, followed by 2 and 3% increases in following years. The board also approved contracts for a new business manager, a senior JROTC instructor, plus a counselor at Nome Belts. The price of gold in New York today is up $8.40 at $1,564.20 an ounce. An ounce of silver up 7 cents at $28.05, a pound of zinc at 85 cents. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 skipped Kotzebue and arrived in Nome at 8:20 this morning. It's expected to depart on time at 9:51. It is currently 42 degrees outside the downtown KNOM studios, 9 minutes past 9 o'clock.